Welcome, everybody. You are now listening to the Monique Rodriguez, the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show. Well, I will be sharing tips on business, being a God-fearing wife, a mom, an entrepreneur, and I'm also going to do a few boss interviews on this podcast show. So thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to download and subscribe to my podcast show because you are in for a treat. So thank you everyone for tuning in to another episode of the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show where I am your host, Monique Rodriguez. And today's episode is about getting into retail stores. So I brought this topic up because now a lot of people ask me this. I get a lot of questions in my DM asking, how did I get into retail chains? So for those of you who haven't listened to previous podcast episodes, I talk about my journey of getting into retail. And my first retailer was Sally Beauty. And I entered into Sally Beauty because of the demand and the presence that I had built on social media. And they were the ones calling us to have a meeting with them. And that's how I ended up having a meeting with these buyers and pitching my brand to them. And they tested us out in 95 stores. And when they tested us out in 95 stores, we sold out in every single store in less than 2 hours, which has never happened to a new brand. But I talk about the story of my journey into retail on a previous episode. So I encourage you guys to listen to that story of how I entered into retail. However, going into retail is not what it seems on Instagram. You have a lot of people that have these products and they have dreams and aspirations of going into these major retail stores, but there is a back end of the retail game that a lot of people don't understand and they don't know. And honestly, you guys, this is something that I am just now starting to get a good grasp and understanding of this retail space. It is so much to learn, and each retailer is different. And it's great to say, hey, I'm on shelf, I'm in Target, I'm in Sally's, but do you really understand what it takes to get on these shelves? Do you really understand the type of connections that you have to make in order to get on these shelves? Do you understand that there is a cost associated with getting on these shelves? Do you understand how to put a marketing plan together to get on the shelf? There is strategy that you need to put behind your business in order to grow your audience of loyal customers. There is a 10-stage retail brand strategy that I have actually put together for those that have a product that are trying to get into retail. You have to have this 10-stage retail brand strategy in order to go into retail. When you go into retail, you want to be able to successfully improve your customer's experience. You want to make sure that you are building a brand that has branding exercises that the retailers can use to find the meaning behind their business. You want to be able to draw a clear story about your brand and communicate that with your target audience. You want to be able to engage and connect with your consumers. You want to have a very strong e-commerce presence. And when you're building on e-commerce, just remember that your e-commerce platform needs to be more human. You have to build relationships with your customers and treat your shoppers as real people. You want to create truly helpful experiences designed based on the thoughts and feelings and emotions of your audience. A majority of e-commerce brands focus on their products, their profits, and their problems. While on the other hand, brick and mortar retailers, they spend huge chunks of their budgets on optimizing the shopping experience for the customers. And most online stores are still a glorified online catalog. So how do you build on e-commerce platforms to build up your brand so it's prepared to go into retail? And that's simply being human, the real live human touch that is part of your current brand experience. That is one of the most overlooked aspects of branding, and yet one of the best ways to set your brand apart from your competitors. It is time to change your mindset and to concentrate on the process, not the outcome. Delighting your customers is a part of the process, and repeat sales are the outcome. Those brands who develop the best customer delighting experiences will reap the most repeat sales. And if you build up your e-commerce platform, that is proof that you can take when you have these retail meetings to show what you have built, your social media following, and make it a no-brainer for these retailers when they meet with you for you to be a part of their stores. Remember, the retailers want to know how you are going to bring customers into their stores to not only buy your product, but to also buy other products that are also in their stores. So now, wouldn't this be great to hear the inside scoop of what it takes to go into retail from an actual retail buyer? I have teamed up with Jasmine Foster, who is an ex-buyer at Target. Jasmine is one of the buyers that was instrumental in Mayel being a part of Target. So, of course, Jasmine is no longer with Target, but she still has a ton of information and loads of knowledge that she wants to share with you on the backside of entering into these retail chains and what retailers look at from a buyer's perspective. Now, obviously, this is an hour or so long podcast episode. But however, we couldn't get all of the information into this podcast episode. So me and Jasmine have teamed up together to create a full retail course on how to get into retail. And we are giving you step-by-step instructions from myself, from a brand perspective, and also from Jasmine, from her buyer's perspective, because she used to be an ex-buyer at Target, y'all. So to team up with her to give you guys a ton of information, a ton of knowledge, because if you are serious into going into retail, you have to know this information, because this is something that people don't talk about. I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I was getting into retail. And I wish that maybe someone had did a podcast episode, or maybe someone had did a course to help me understand a little bit more about the retail space, because I had no clue of what I was getting myself into, and I made a lot of mistakes. So teaming up with Jasmine, and I'm so thankful that she was able to do this podcast episode and also team up with me to teach this course on, number one, how you get discovered, number two, how to be shelf ready, and number three, how to showcase your value. And number four, we're basically giving you the roadmap on the steps to get into retail and to prepare your brand for these retail chains when you get ready to have these meetings. It is so important that you know and you learn from other people who have done it, learn from their mistakes. So I'm so honored that Jasmine was willing to put this course together with me. This course will be available this Friday. So make sure you are signed up for my newsletter on themoniquerodriguez.com so you can enroll to get all of this juicy information on the back end of what it takes to get into retail and understanding the retail before you decide your brand is ready and prepared to go into these stores. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with Jasmine. So Jasmine lives to be a change maker. Jasmine is a former retail exec with experience at Target, Amazon, and General Mills. She recently joined Urban Skin RX to be one of the first lines of making the beauty industry a more inclusive place. Outside of her day job, Jasmine considers herself a diversity, inclusion educator, people advocate, and brand evangelist. So without further ado, I will not make you guys wait any longer. Let's get into this sauce and learn what it takes to go into retail.
Thank you for taking time out of your day to record this quick podcast. I know you're busy, so I don't think it's going to take longer than like 30 to 40 minutes. Like I said, I'm going to record your intro like after the fact. And I think I'm going to probably post this around like July. Not going to take that long. But thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And I also need a photo. So don't forget to send me that photo.
Yes, I have my headshot. So I'll send it to you today.
Okay, cool. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get into the questions. So again, you know, this is recorded. So I want to thank you again for taking the time out of your day to talk to my podcast listeners and just tell us a little bit about your story, your journey with, you know, who Jasmine is. So can you tell us a little bit about Jasmine, your background, and what you currently do today?
Yeah, so I've spent about 10 years in the retail industry, kind of leading and pushing multicultural initiatives at some of the biggest retailers. I am a single girl living in Charlotte, and I am currently working at Urban Skin RX, leading sales and business development for Urban Skin RX. So super excited to be here today to help you with your podcast and kind of share my story.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. So I met you at Target. That's how we first had our interaction when I did my line review meeting. So what a lot of people don't know, like they see like our products on the shelves at these big retailers, but they don't really understand like it is a process to get into retail. Like you have to go to these meetings and you're going to these line reviews, and it can be very intimidating, especially like if you don't come from that world. So when I first met you, I'm not going to lie, like I was a little intimidated by you because I was like, oh my gosh, you look so mean. but once I got to know you, I was like, oh, she's actually friendly and I actually like her. So, you know, that's what a lot of people don't know. And I'm glad that we've actually formed a friendship, you know, even outside of Target, and you're no longer there. And we still keep in touch. So I really appreciate and I value like our friendship beyond the business side. So can you like go into like, how did you actually land that job at Target, being the localization buyer in the actual multicultural beauty space?
Yeah, so I've always had a passion and I've always pushed for diversity and inclusion initiatives at Target or at Amazon or when I was at General Mills. And really when they were looking for someone to be the localization buyer that focused on the multicultural beauty experience, they wanted someone that was passionate not only about retail, but truly understood what it was like to be a Black woman who shops the aisles in stores. And so with my experience of having over 10 years of retail experience, but then also always being someone who pushed for diversity inclusion initiatives at Target, it was a really good fit of both marrying up my passion along with my experience to drive a new strategy at Target.
Yeah, so, I mean, you, from the time that you were there or the time that I've known that you've been there, you were not there that long, but you made such a huge impact in the multicultural space the short time that you were there, which is, like, huge, which is like, true, like, Black girl magic. Like, I told you that when you had your award at Ubiquitous, because you've done so much. So, like, can you talk about, like, some of the challenges that you faced? Or did you face any challenges being in the multicultural aisle, even from like a brand perspective? Like, did you see a lot of challenges within the brands coming into the space? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the thing that was really hard was that a lot of people understood why multicultural hair was important. The multicultural hair aisle was established for about 7 years. And we had seen the growth and the trajectory and why that was important. The hard part was getting people to understand the need to have multicultural beauty outside of just hair. So we needed cosmetics, we needed skincare, we needed body products, so that when an African American or woman of color come to shop at Target, they're able to have an entire beauty experience. And then they're also not just coming into the stores just to buy hair products. Within the hair aisle, one thing that was really challenging in trying to figure out how do we differentiate is consumers get paralysis when they come into the multicultural beauty hair aisle because there's so many options And when you're a retailer, you really don't have a lot of options to kind of put education out on the aisle. And so mm-hmm. it was really important to me to make sure that I created other experiences that allowed for our consumers to engage with education. So whether that was us launching our textured hair site page on Target.com so that you can mm-hmm. actually experience the brand a little bit deeper by understanding some how-to content or understanding what were the best of options, or us by mm-hmm. doing in-store events where you got to engage with the founders and you got to talk to them about, hey, I have this hair type, what products would work best for my hair? That really allowed for us to bring education to consumers in a more creative way, since we didn't have the space and aisle to kind of help them out with education.
Right, and it's funny you talk about that, because I share in my story when I tell people like how I even started my brand. You know, I talk about being that consumer. That was me like 5 years ago, and I would literally go into the hair care aisle and just basically just stand there, because you know when you yep. start a business, you know, you have to do your market research and you have to like know what's in the market, know what people are picking up, know your customers. So I would literally go into like the Target aisle and just stand in the multicultural and say, okay, what product should I pick, or what differentiates these products that are out on the shelf? And I would ask customers that were in the aisle as well, and I would see them pick up products, and I would ask them, well, what made you pick up that product? Just to kind of like educate myself, because I knew that there was a void and I saw that there was a lack of education. And that's really how my brand grew so fast, because I became that founder that was relatable and that was providing that education content to my customers, because I didn't see that as a customer myself. So it's funny that you said that. So that was great that you realized that there was a lack of education. And you know, the natural woman, she wants to know what she's putting in her hair, beauty products. We want to know like what we're putting on our body. So education is huge. And I always tell like people that I'm mentoring, like you have to educate your consumers. So a lot of people ask me, and maybe you can talk on it from a buyer's perspective, like, how do you get into retail? So when you were in that seat and you were looking at brands that were coming into line review, presenting to you, what exactly did you guys look for when you select the brands to go onto your show?
Yeah, I feel like that's a question that a lot of people ask. For me, it's really about three things. So one, does your product work? Like, what is the efficacy? So you've probably seen me in line reviews taking gel, mm-hmm. taking oil, mm-hmm. taking it on my hair, actually trying it. I'm the girl that takes the makeup. You know, if you tell me that it's really for all skin tones, I'm going to try it and see if it's actually for my skin type. Like, will it make me ashy yeah. or will it actually blend in? So for me, like, the first thing is efficacy, is that it actually has to work, and what you're claiming for it to be needs to be true. I think the second thing that is really, really important, because you can have a product that works, but if it doesn't have a clear point of differentiation, a buyer mm-hmm. is going to want to understand, why is this something that I should bring to my aisles when I already have mm-hmm. something else like this? And so I think yep. it's really, really critical for brands to really understand the marketplace, understand what's already out there, and then what's your spin on it? How are you different than what is already mm-hmm. being given to consumers? How do you package that? How do you talk about that? Is it clear on your packaging? Do you educate about that point of differentiation, whether it's on social or on your website? I think that's mm-hmm. so, so key, because buyers don't want another Me Too product in the aisle. They really want something that is going to be new and differentiated. And then I think the last piece that I always look for was someone who really understood their consumer, that yep. took the time to listen to them, to build a brand, to build products based off of the needs that their consumer told them about, that had a great following on social, because Target wants the opportunity for you to bring your customer into their store. You know, right, no matter right. what retailer it is, the benefit that the retailer provides is that they are able to introduce your brand to the mass audience, right? Mm-hmm. But what they're hoping to get in return is that, Monique, you've built an amazing brand. You have this many followers. We want you to bring those consumers and drive them to our store and to buy our products, because we carry your brand on our shelves. We're hoping that they're going to pick up some IL. They're going to go buy some toilet paper. They might buy your shirt.
Right.
We also want it to be a two-way street, where we're introducing our products to the mass audience, but you're maybe bringing a different audience to our aisles as well.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was so good and so thorough, because that is exactly what I tell people. Like, it is not easy to get on these shows. Like, you have to first build an audience. If you have no audience, mm-hmm. that retailer, they're going to be like, okay, who are you bringing into my stores? How are you going to support my show? Like, mm-hmm. I always tell people to focus on your consumer and focus on building. When you build, they will follow. And that is such an important lesson. And also, not only in addition to building your following, like being clear with your messaging, like if you confuse your customers, you lose. So you yep. have to make sure that you focus on the messaging and making sure that it's clear and concise. And I always tell people, like, focus on a niche. A lot of people, like, they want to start everywhere. Like, they want to say they want to mm-hmm. market to, like, men, women, and children. Like, no, you can't market to everyone at the same time. Like, start small and then branch out as you continue to grow. So, I'm so glad that you said that, because a lot of people don't understand, number one, building that audience and being clear on your messaging and having that point of differentiation. Like, it's so easy to like copy and say, I want to be just like this person, but no, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you have to apply your own uniqueness to your brand and have your, and your brand has its own personality. So that was a great answer. I love that. So what would you tell like someone that is a new brand and they are interested in going into like a major retail, like a Target or any other major retail?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's kind of what we kind of just hit on. You have to build up a strong direct-to-consumer business first. Like, that is so important. Any major retailer is going to want to see that you have the business chops to kind of build up this thing on your own. Because to be honest, these buyers and these merchants at these companies, they have, you know, hundreds of brands that they're looking at every year. And so they don't really have the time to coach and develop a brand to be successful. So they're going to want to see that you've been able to kind of build up your brand on your own, build a following, have a decent amount of sales. If you don't have a decent amount of sales, at least have a strong following with really strong engagement on social to kind of prove mm-hmm. that people are interested in what you're trying to sell. I think the other thing that I would tell someone is you need a strong partner that understands what it takes to succeed in retail. You do not want to go into these meetings blind. I don't know how yeah. many times someone's came into a meeting with a 100-page deck and I'm just already immediately turned off because it's just way too much paper to look at. But then on the flip side, you have people that, you know, come in with amazing ideas and they are actually really a good fit, but they don't understand the economics of what it takes to succeed in retail. They don't understand uh-huh. what it, how much it's going to cost to have upfront yep. inventory to support that first PO. They don't understand yep. that when we want to change an item out, that means that you're going to have to take a markdown, and that means you're going to have to pay for that mm-hmm. markdown. Mm-hmm. They don't understand yeah. that, you know, you might have had a marketing budget to support your direct-to-consumer business, but when you go to a retailer, for you to succeed, you're going to have to increase that marketing budget a little bit so that you can drive consumers now to that retailer, because to be honest, you get about at most 13 weeks to prove yourself before a retailer is making a decision on what they're doing for that next year. And so
yeah.
it's really, really important to take the right partner, whether that's a consultant, whether that's another brand mentor that's maybe been in the space, whether it's a sales rep group or broker who kind of has mm-hmm. relationships with these retailers. It's really, really important. You don't want to go in blind, because there's been too many times where people come in and they're just so excited for the opportunity
yep.
that they don't mm-hmm. fully understand what that opportunity means. And you want to be set up to win. And it's kind of on your own onus. And, you know, if you have a good retail partner, they'll share with you that, but truly, it's on your own onus to do your research ahead of time to make sure that you understand all those levers going into the meeting, to know what to ask for. Someone tries to yeah. give you full distribution, but you're not ready, push back. If they actually, you know what, I want to ensure that we start small. So I want to start in a subset of stores to make sure that I'm able to win. Those are things that you have to advocate for yourself so that you know that you're positioned mm-hmm. to be financially savvy and have a success story.
Absolutely. That was really good. And I always tell people, like, yeah, it's nice, it's pretty to be on those shows, but if you got to come off, it's expensive and you need to be able to support that. So, you know, that is really good. And so the funny thing is when I first went into retail, my first retail meeting, I had no idea what I was getting into because I actually focused on building and speaking to my consumer. I wasn't even thinking about going into retail until we got that phone call. And, you know, Sally's was our first retail partner.
Yeah.
And when we went into that meeting, I was not prepared. I didn't have a presentation. I didn't have anything together. But they were just so impressed with what I had built that that overrode that. So I'm saying that to, like, piggyback off of what you said, like, make sure that you do your research and you're prepared, because though the retail meeting that I had, that doesn't usually happen. So you really want to educate yourself and surround yourself with people that have been there. Like you said, have that mentor that knows what they're doing, have a sales broker, sales team that understands the retail space, because my sales broker is the one that had to break everything down and explain how this retail business works, because it's a beast. Like, I had no idea. Yep. And I don't regret anything, because I feel that I've learned so much. And, you know, having great retail partners has, like, pushed my brand and has helped my brand grow so much. But there's also a lot of back end that, you know, a lot of fees and financial support that my brand had to withstand. And, you know, you have to make sure that your company has the financial stability to go into these retail. So, you know, if you need investors, you got to have all that stuff, all your ducks in a row before you decide to go into retail. It's not just a quick meeting and it's like, hey, now you're in our stores and now let's see what you can do. Like, no, it's a process and there are steps, and you need to understand the fees, you need to understand the paperwork, you need to understand, like, how the planograms work. As much as you can learn, like, you have to educate yourself. So thank you for answering that. That was very thorough. So you talked about now you're working with Urban Skin, which obviously Rachel is one of my friends as well. So when she told me about the transition, I was like, oh my God, congratulations. And plus, you're not in Minnesota, you're in Charlotte.
Yeah,
better city. So, you know, I told you I was very happy for you. How can you talk about, like, the transition and what made you shift from having this great job at Target to now being with a brand, an entrepreneur brand such as myself, like Urban Skin? What made you make that transition?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of things that went into it, but I would say the main thing was that I loved my job when I was leading the multicultural beauty strategy at Target. I thought it was such a great synergy of my passion of diversity and inclusion. It was a synergy of me working in a space where I got to serve my own people, but also married with, like, my background of being in retail and understanding the business side of brands. And so some of you guys don't know, but in the retail industry, you oftentimes have to shift from desk to desk. So you go from category to category about every 2 years so that they keep a new, fresh idea on the desk. And so when I left that job to go lead another category, I found myself still being very drawn to what was going on in multicultural beauty. I kind of felt like I left before I had made an impact. But I left before I felt like I had finished the job. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like I had so much more that I could do. And I had built up really strong relationships with some key brands in the space. And, you know, I was an advocate of y'all's brands before and after that job. I loved all that y'all were doing. And, you know, I really had to sit down with myself and say, do you want to continue to live a career that's designed by somebody else? Or do you want to live in a career that's really designed by your own passion and purpose? And so I thought about it, and I decided that I wanted to be on the front lines of helping build a brand that was continuing to serve a community that I cared a lot about. And that, you know, I had that opportunity to do that on the retail side, but it was really my time to do that on the front lines working with a brand. And so that's what led me to coming to Urban Skin RX. I had a professional and personal relationship with Rachel from, you know, our time working together at Target. It was a brand that I had brought in as I was going through my discovery journey of continuing to kind of push the boundaries outside of the multicultural hair aisle into other aisles. And Rachel is a founder that I looked up to, was one of the founders that I was like, you know, if I ever had the chance to leave and work for a brand, when I was considering. And so it ended up being a good alignment of she was looking for someone mm-hmm. at the time, and it was expanding her team, and I was ready to follow my passion, and that's how it happened.
Wow. So because Rachel's my friend, I'm not going to say I would steal you from her, but you know. But so I'm going to keep my comment to myself because I like Rachel. I love Rachel. But no, I'm just joking. But no, I'm truly happy for you. And how you talked about, like, you were an advocate for our brands. Like, you are so right. Because, you know, the first time that I saw you when you were still at Target, and, you know, I follow you on Instagram, and I was looking at your Insta stories, and I was seeing that you were actually going to Target to buy my products. I was like, oh my God. I remember telling my husband, like, Jasmine is like purchasing her products. Like, she really loves the brand. She really likes the products. So just know that, like, that made my day because I truly felt like, yeah, she really does vouch for our brand. She is an advocate. So I definitely agree with you on that. And I do appreciate that from you. So if you can give, like, someone that is looking for, like, marketing advice, what, like, gem of free marketing advice would you give someone that's listening to this podcast right now?
Yeah. Actually, I think I have two, if you don't mind. I would say the the first one is pick a consumer base and overserve them. Don't try to be everything for everyone. Like, mm-hmm. really, really pick who it's going to be. Whether you're going after African-American women, whether you're going after someone who is an active gym goer, whether you're going after someone who's in, like, health and wellness, like, pick a lane and stick to it and then overserve them. I think so many people will try to be everything for everyone. And it's just mm-hmm. so hard to really get clear, concise messaging. And to be honest, small businesses really don't have the capital in the beginning to market to everyone. So what if you actually just took whatever marketing budget that you had and really drove it to whoever your core consumer base and overserve them, listen to them, talk to them, and understand what their needs are and continuing to market based off of what they're telling you. So I would say that would be the first one. And then I think the second piece is that, you know, people develop brands and they have an amazing line of, you know, 10 to 20 items. And it's amazing. You know, you want to have breadth, right? Because you want that mm-hmm. shelf presence. You want to make sure you have enough to sell the website. But figure out what is your hero SKU. And then literally talk about whatever that hero SKU is until you're blue in the face. Because that's going to be, mm-hmm. you want mm-hmm. someone to be able to clearly say that I love X brand because of this. And you want that to be the messaging, that one item that people are always talking about you. Now, if they come into that new, and you want that one item to be the one that, like, works the best, right? Like, the one that people right. love, that works the best, that's going to give them, like, results really well. And then once someone joins into your brand that way, they're going to find all the other amazing items that you have. But I think that sometimes, again, in the beginning, people, you know, have 10 to 20 items. They're trying to talk a little bit about everything. And when you talk a little about everything, you're not really educating specifically on one. And I think that, especially in the beginning, really think about what's your hero to you. Because also when you go into retail meetings, that's what they're going to ask you. Everyone, my first question mm-hmm. in the first, like, 5 to 10 minutes is going to be, what's your number one seller? Like, what are you known for? And you're going to want to be able to have that item that you're known for that you can talk about. And I think even through your journey, right, Monique, you have that one item that people, that was kind of a part of the line in the beginning that people still love and talk about.
Yep, that's our Baba Sudhu conditioner. Yep, that's our hero. And yeah, I never understood, like in the beginning, why we had to rank our items. Because, you know, you guys mm-hmm. always ask for a ranking. And to your point, you want to know, the buyers want to know, like, what are your hero SKUs? What are you known for? And I kept asking my broker, I'm like, why do I have to rank? Like, all of the items are good. Why do you want me to rank them? But every item can't go into the retail. So you're absolutely right.
And so, it's also for me to understand, like, so say you're known for deep conditioners. If I have a void in deep conditioners, I want to bring you in because I know that you're known for a deep conditioner, and so we don't have a deep conditioner that really works there, so we want to make sure that we are, again, understanding your differentiation. But on the flip mm-hmm. side, if you're a brand that's known for making it up face mask, but our facial mask area is already oversaturated, it's like, ooh, well, I maybe don't want to take the risk on this brand because I already have so many brands that have face masks right now that, like, I need a brand that's actually really good for toners because we don't have that or whatever that is. But that's why we ask, is because we're trying to understand what's your point of differentiation and how does that fit into what I already have within my category.
Right. Okay. Yeah, makes total complete sense. Like, I get it now. That's what I've learned so much over the past 5 years. So speaking of 5 years, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Like, where is Jasmine going in life?
You know, Monique, this question is hard because I feel like if I had asked myself 5 years ago where I would be now,
yeah,
it wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't now be able to tell you by any means I'm at where I'm at now. But, you know, where I hope to see myself in 5 years is really continuing to listen to myself and to continue to go wherever my heart finds energy. And I've really been in this space where I've been trying to listen to myself and understand, like, what gives me energy and what takes away my energy. And whatever continues to give me energy, run towards that, because that's what's going to help you live a more passion-filled, purpose-filled, enjoyable life in the future. And whatever doesn't give me energy, try to figure out how to, you know, reduce the encounters of situations in which you have that. You can't always get rid of everything that doesn't give you energy, but you can try to reduce that. And so I would just hope that in the next 5 years that it's me continuing to listen to myself and going towards whatever my heart finds energy in. So I know that's not like a concrete answer, but it's true.
No, that's the perfect
that I'm in right now.
Yeah, no, it's perfect because it is like you have to be in tune with yourself. And that's why I'm really big on like meditation and being by yourself, practicing stillness, because that's how you're in tune with yourself. Like you said, to know what gives you that energy. And, you know, I talk about how I feel that God has directed me in a different path in my life, because like doing things like this is like, this podcast interview that I just did with you gave me so much energy. Like, I'm so excited. Like, I just want to like release it today because I feel like it would be so valuable to my listeners, but you know, I'm actually going to wait. But you know, helping people and just seeing how people are just so receptive to the information that I'm providing and just getting the feedback of how like even my podcast episodes have helped someone or just inspired someone and motivated someone. Like, you know, I always felt that it was bigger than like hair products and selling shampoo and conditioner. Like, I felt that my platform is for a bigger purpose and for God to use me to bring more people to him and to help them in life. Because I tell everybody, like, God wants us all to live an abundant life, but sometimes people don't have that abundance because they don't feel like they deserve it. So my goal is to just help people understand, like, look, you deserve it. This is the life that you're supposed to have. You just got to go after it. So, I mean, that was a perfect question, but it takes for you, perfect answer, but it takes for you to be like in tune with yourself to know where self needs to go in the next 5 years, if that makes sense. So I totally agree with you because I'm big on like being by myself so I can just get to know myself more. As crazy as that may sound, like, you're always trying to, you know, get to know yourself, because I feel that your life goes through different seasons and your purpose in life is going to be different each season. So I'm a big advocate of that. So thank you so much. I mean, you've already done a lot in your young life already, so I can only imagine where you're going to be in the next 5 years. And you know, I'm glad to say I know you because I get to stick around and watch how you're going to grow and blossom and just see where life takes you. So I'm super proud of you and I'm very happy for you, and I thank you again for even doing this podcast, because I feel that this was like really good. It was so great. So thank you so much.
No, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to the people that listen to you and that you mentor. And again, like, I've learned so much from you. I think that seeing how you've grown your brand and how you're so in tune to your customers and that, and doing all that you do even outside of just building your brand, has given me so much energy and drive to think about how do I just stay in my zone of figuring out my own purpose and passion so that I too can figure out how to give back to my community. So it's just such a reciprocal friendship, because I've learned so much from you and I hope that you've learned a little bit from me, and these experiences that we can enjoy together are just so awesome. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
So there you have it. Now, I told you guys she came with a ton of information. I was so excited when Jasmine recorded this podcast. I was like, oh my God, you poured into this so much. So if you guys know she gave this much information on this podcast, you can only imagine how much more information is inside of our retail course that we did together on how to get into retail, which will be available this Friday. And it is information that you must know before you decide you want to take your brand to the next level and go into these retail stores. So if you enjoyed this episode, take a screenshot, upload it, tag myself and tag Jasmine. Her Instagram name is j.nicole.foss, F-O-S. Tag us on Instagram. And until next time, I will talk to you guys later. In the meantime, if you're not signed up for my email list, go to themoniquerodriguez.com and sign up so you don't miss out on when this retail course drops this Friday, because it will not be open long and it's a limited edition. I will not offer this again. So you have to take advantage of this one-time retail course that nobody is talking about. And while I'm truly blessed to be in retail stores, it is such a God-given blessing. I'm truly thankful, but I just want to help educate other people before they go into the stores so they at least know what they're getting themselves into before you make the decision to say, hey, I want to be on shelf. But let's try to educate and learn what it takes to be on shelf before we get on the shelf. So until next time, I will talk to you guys later. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Monique Rodriguez, The Secret Sauce to Success podcast show. Stay tuned for next week. I will talk to you guys later.